turn to Galatians chapter 3. Let me read for you verses 25, 26, and 27, which will be our text tonight. Galatians 3, beginning with verse 25. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. John Stott, in his book entitled The Message of Galatians, clearly summarizes this passage by saying we cannot come to Christ to be justified until we have been first to Moses to be condemned. But once we have gone to Moses and acknowledged our sin, our guilt, and condemnation, we must not stay there. We must let Moses send us to Christ. And once our faith is in Christ, some marvelous spiritual realities come to pass. And from verses 25 through 27 of this chapter, we find four of these spiritual realities. They will be our focus tonight. The spiritual realities that come to pass when we are in Christ. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 25, an initial spiritual reality we experience when our faith is in Christ is we are no longer under a tutor. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. King James uses the word schoolmaster, but it actually is referring to being a tutor. Now please understand, God never intended the law to be anything more than a temporary means of showing men their sin, of showing men their guilt, of showing men their need of cleansing from that sin, and then of leading them to Christ. Which means once a person has come to faith in Christ, he is no longer under the law. He is no longer under this tutor. He is no longer under this schoolmaster. He is now out from under law's symbolism, law's bondage, law's discipline. The purpose of the law has been fulfilled, and so he is no longer under the law, but he is under grace, as Paul says in Romans chapter 6, verse 14. Now let me quickly say, just because a person is no longer under the law does not mean God's moral standards are no longer appropriate or even necessary. Remember Ephesians 2, 8, 9, which says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. James 1:27 talks about pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, that we visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and we keep ourselves unspotted from the world. And then, of course, that famous passage in Titus chapter 2, teaching us the denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world or present age, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, a unique people, zealous of good works. These things teach and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Point number one, we no longer need a tutor. Point number two, another spiritual reality we experience when our faith is in Christ, we become sons of God. Notice verse 26, for ye are all children or sons of God by faith in Christ Jesus. The ancient Romans had a coming of age ceremony they called the toga virilis, which was similar to the Jewish bar mitzvah. And the ceremony signified a boy's reaching the age of manhood, which varied between ages 14 through 17, along with becoming a full Roman citizen with all of its rights and privileges, which declared that he no longer had a tutor. He no longer had the Greek word is a pedagogos, but now was a recognized adult responsible for his own welfare and actions. And so in application, Paul is saying here in verse 26, you Galatians, because of your faith in Christ, Because you have believed on his name, you have experienced a spiritual toga virilis. You are now children of God. You are now sons of God. And as Galatians 4:6 tells us, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And Abba is a diminutive of the Aramaic word for father. It can be translated daddy or papa. It was an intimate term of endearment used by young children of their fathers. And so Paul is saying, now that you have experienced spiritual sonship, that we are sons of God, why would you ever consider going back under the tutorship of the law? And we can declare what a glorious truth. The Holy Spirit brings us into a personal relationship with God the Father, whom we can call our Heavenly Father, and to whom we can come boldly under the throne of grace, where we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Because of our faith in Christ, we are no longer children of wrath. Ephesians 2:3. We are no longer a child of the devil. John 8:44. We are sons of God. What a glorious standing. Act like sons of God. Don't act like children of the devil. The thing I do not understand today is how we connect the dots between living like the world and calling ourselves a Christian. We are sons of the Heavenly Father. What a glorious gift of love. We have been adopted into the family of God. Don't take that lightly. Don't brush that off. Don't think, oh, no big deal. That's God's love that has brought this to pass. And then third, when our faith is in Christ, we are baptized into Christ. Verse 27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ. Now we know Christian baptism is a public declaration, an outward testimony of our faith in Christ. When you stand in the water, you picture the cross. You picture the death of Christ. When you go down into the water, you picture the burial of Christ. When you come up out of the water, you picture the resurrection of Christ. You picture the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you are saying to those that are witnessing your baptism, I believe in the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ to save my soul. So what a beautiful thing. And if you've not been scripturally baptized, I would encourage you to do so. What a way to declare your belief in Jesus Christ. But Paul here is referring not to this water baptism, but rather to our spiritual identification and immersion into the life of Christ at salvation, of which water baptism, of course, is an outward picture of this inward Holy Spirit work. If you'll turn to Romans chapter 6, we read of this spiritual identification. We see Paul describing this baptism. Notice, beginning with verse 3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in what? Newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Let's say that last phrase together, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now the truth Paul here is conveying is in some spiritual supernatural way, when we place our faith in Christ, we are crucified, we are buried, we are resurrected with our Savior. In other words, we are baptized into Christ. I mean, that's getting pretty close. We are crucified, we are buried, we are resurrected with our Savior. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, "But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit." We are one spirit with Jesus Christ. Which brings us to our last point, and that is when our faith is in Christ, we are then clothed with Christ. Verse 27 goes on to say, we have put on Christ. Now, when Gideon faced the overwhelming armies of the Amalekites and the Midianites, Judges 6:35 states, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and the words "came upon" literally mean clothed, which tells us that Gideon was enshrouded. He was mantled with the Holy Spirit as a divine coat of armor, which is the concept Paul uses here. When we identify ourselves with Christ through faith, we become divinely clothed. We become enveloped with Christ's life. We become clothed. We become enveloped with Christ's presence, with Christ's righteous nature, which should then be outwardly manifested in holy living. Philippians 2:15 states that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in this world. Galatians 2:20 adds, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me, who gave himself for me. I live by the faith of the Son of God. By faith I am clothed, I am enshrouded, I am mantled with Christ. We are clothed with him. One author writes, the simplest definition of a Christian is a person who is clothed with Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, if we are clothed with Christ, what should that say to those around us? They should see Jesus Christ. If they can't see Christ, your faith maybe is not in Christ. The simplest definition of a Christian is a person who is clothed with Christ. The highest compliment someone could give to you is, I see that you are clothed with Christ. Which again tells us, whatever the Lord Jesus is, the believer becomes. Because Christ is the love of the Father, so too do we. Because Christ has full access to the Father, so too do we. Because Christ has the full resources of the Father, the full resources of the Father, so too do we. After all, we too are clothed with Christ. And now that we are sons of God, baptized into Christ, and are clothed with Christ, because of our faith in Christ, why would we ever want to put ourselves back under the tutor, the schoolmaster of the law? We have already been to Mount Sinai. It is now Mount Calvary, to which we look for our life, our hope, and our salvation. I ask, is that your look of faith? I like this statement by Warren Wiersbe. In the Old Testament, we have preparation for Christ. In the Gospels, the presentation of Christ. And in Acts, the revelation, the appropriation of Christ. I say, let us, even now, as we remember our Lord's death, appropriate Christ. For as sons of God, we are baptized into Christ. We have fully clothed ourselves with Christ. And God's people said, amen. Amen. What a standing. What a privilege. We're talking about the living God who spoke the universe into existence. This is no trite being. This is no idol that sits on your mantle. We are talking about the God of the universe who has privileged us when our faith is in Jesus Christ. He has privileged us so that we too might become like him. Clothed in not only his positional righteousness, but in his practical righteousness. And we remember what event took place that brings all of this spiritual reality to pass. Let us have high thoughts, deep thoughts regarding Calvary and what it means for us.